I'm not denying you. I am challenging you, sure, absolutely. That's my job. I'm a preacher. Would there be evidence in your life that you could look back and point to that says, yes, in fact, because on this day I put him before those things, and on this day I put him before those things? Is there evidence in your life that Jesus Christ means more to you than anything and everything in this world? What does the evidence state? If our lives were examined, how do we know that if God should come to us at some point in our life and put his finger on something in our life, that we would have the grace and the ability to say, yes, God, it's yours. It's yours. Whatever, however precious, however deeply meaningful that is in our life, however trivial it is in our life, be amazed at the trivial stuff that we cling to with desperation. And God is like, I want that. Like, God, not that. I like that. I'm not even talking about deep stuff. I'm talking about little silly stuff that we cling to with white knuckles sometimes when God puts his finger on it. I don't know, does that speak to anybody? I got both hands in the air. Man, I amaze myself. Praise God. While you're chewing on that question, let me say this. My message today is about fasting for revival. Fasting for revival. And that's why I was so amazed at these songs that came forth that talk about being hungry for God. The cool little Caribbean song we sang at the beginning. Could have come from the Solomon Islands or something. I don't know. You know? Talking about thirsting for the river of God. And the words that came forth, I think when Tom was speaking, saying, you know, are you hungry for him more than these other things? I was like, praise God, man. Fred was right, man. Holy Spirit is here. Fasting. Because fasting, in all of its assorted various forms, and there are all kinds of different fastings that you can take part in, fasting is the best way and the most scriptural way to demonstrate in your life that Christ means more to you than the very most basic things of our existence. More than life itself. We can demonstrate that to ourselves and to God. When we fast, it says we mean business with God. It means that when I mean business, when I say, Lord, I want you in my life more than anything else, my fasting demonstrates that. When I say I want you more in my life than anything in this life, that is one way I can bring that forth and give that to him as an act of worship. It's not an act of manipulation. You're not trying to twist God's arm behind his back and say, well, God, if I can fast 2 more hours, I'm not only going to get this, but I want, you know, what's behind door B as well. I want both doors, A and B. How much longer do I have to fast to get door B? It's not that kind of thing. It's all about our heart. Where is our heart? Where are our affections? Truly, where are our affections? What really drives us in our life and in our heart? Praise God. Now, you know, as I say that, thank you. I just wanted to make sure I was in the right place. Some of you may sort of have an objection in your mind. I believe in all that, but, you know, I've got this medical condition. Maybe I've got diabetes. Maybe I'm pregnant. Praise God. Maybe, you know, I've got this other medical condition, my blood sugar, whatever it happens to be, and I can't really go without food for long periods of time. Medically, I have to eat. You know what? And I don't have a problem with that in the world. Praise God. Please eat to the glory of God. Eat consistently. Eat healthy. Keep your life in balance. Because there are so many ways that you can fast before God that if medically you can't go without food, that is okay. We'll talk about all kinds of different ways you can fast before God. So I'm saying that right now because I don't want you to tune me out and turn me off and saying, well, that's for everybody else today because I can't do that. Oh, the principles about fasting are so meaty and so valuable. I want all of us to get this. Amen? Amen. Okay, so if you have your Bibles with you, if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, it's our key passage today. It's a small passage. It's a small verse. Only takes one line on my paper. But sometimes big things come in small packages. This thing is loaded. Glory. Matthew 5, 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, in fact, let's all read it together. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, the first thing somebody might say, particularly if you went to some of the churches I went to, you might say, well, what in the world does that have to do with revival? Because I was raised to believe that this had to do with salvation. Righteousness meant right standing before God. It was a gift of God by His grace. You don't deserve it or earn it. It's you know, bought by Christ, and righteousness is your right standing. And so, you know, I'd say, well, what in the world does that have to do with righteousness? I mean, with revival. I was taught that this was about salvation. I was taught that basically it meant that if you really, really wanted to get saved, you were going to get good and saved. You know, and that's what happened in my life. You know, my mom dragged me to that crusade, and halfway there, the Holy Ghost came upon me in powerful conviction to the point I knew I was headed for hell. Man, I was crying and trembling. They dragged me in there, and I was like, man, I was so hungry to get saved. And when I got saved that night, I got good and saved, man. I come out of there a different man. I was amazed at how saved I got. I was singing and dancing all the way home. My mom probably thought, man, the last time I do that, man, I've created a monster. I was a scary dude when I first got saved because I got good and saved. I was filled with righteousness. But you know, revival, we have said revival starts with the house of God. Revival starts with God's people who already are saved. So what in the world does this have to do with salvation when it's talking about hungering for righteousness? Here's why. This word righteousness is a fascinating word. Yeah, it can mean right standing with God. Absolutely. You know, your sins are washed in the blood. You are clean. He declares you righteous even though you've got a lot of work to do. But there are other meanings in other sense. In fact, if you go to Thayer's Greek lexicon, what you'll find is this. Okay. It's the word dikaiosune. Dikaiosune. And flip that over to the next one. Thank you. How about that? Isn't that amazing? I just wave my fingers and it happens. There's Greek lexicon, righteousness. And it starts giving some different senses of it, the virtue, quality, state of one who is dikaios. But look at number one in the red. When it talks about this word righteousness, it says, the state of him who is such as he ought to be. The state of someone who is such as he ought to be, not dysfunctional, not wounded and bleeding in our souls, hemorrhaging pain and emotion, not filled with bitterness from past wounds and hurts, not filled with addictions, not filled with despair and hopelessness and a sense of purposelessness, but a state of being made whole. We were talking about those deep spiritual needs. The state of him who was such as he ought to be. And it goes on underneath of that. If you look down at letter B, it says, to give a little more detail, flesh it out, integrity, virtue, purity of life, uprightness. And check out on the bottom underline, correctness in thinking and feeling and acting. In other words, our minds aren't screwed up anymore. Our minds are put back together and we are made whole. And instead of painfully crawling over the broken glass of our life, we are walking strong and standing tall and going forth in the joy and the victory of the Lord. Righteousness, being in a state as he ought to be. As I ought to be. How many people want to be in a state such as you ought to be? Are you hungry for that? Are there things that come when you're up at 3 o'clock in the morning and the rest of the world sleeps, and there is something that keeps you awake and you can't sleep because it's eating away on the inside? Do you hunger for that thing to be resolved inside of you so that you can be what you ought to be, what God has called you to and destined you for? We are destined for the throne. We are kings and priests in the kingdom of God. We are called to a life of victory, to share in what Christ has done for us. And is there something inside of you that says, yes, some, I have an innate sense that I was made for more than defeat and crawling around on my hands and knees? Something inside says that when God called me, He called me to victory. Glory to God. When I came out of that crusade, when I got saved, I came out a victorious man. I went in a broken man. I came out a whole man. That's what God wants to do for each of us. Yes, we might be, as the song goes that I heard that I love, it says, I'm justified, but I'm being sanctified. I am saved, but I am being transformed. Yes, God wiped my slate clean, but He is transforming me. He's doing a work down inside of me. And I am not yet completely as I ought to be. But praise God, when I get there, man, it'll be worth everything I encountered along the way. We've got a destiny. We're going somewhere. We ought to wake up, man, shouting and dancing for all the stuff that God has in store for us, if we will let Him do His work in our life. Praise God. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after such a thing. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Why? Say it louder. Say it louder. They'll be filled. Glory. Blessed are you, happy are you when you hunger and thirst to be made whole. Why? Because if you will, you will be filled. We're not spitting into the wind. We're not crying out into an empty room. God hears and He knows and He is alive and He will fulfill His word if we will hunger and thirst after Him. You want to be filled? Gracious, I want to be filled. Man, I want to be filled. You ain't never been filled till you've been filled with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
I've been in some good restaurants, man. We went 4,000 miles to go eat at some of the most amazing restaurants on the planet. And we were filled. Larry, were you filled down in Peru? Praise God. Man, I was filled with something. I ate stuff I didn't even know what I was eating. I didn't even know what kind of animal it was to make what I was eating. But you know what? As filled as I was in those restaurants, my stomach, man, I have never been filled there like I've been filled when I'm filled with Jesus. There is nothing like being filled with Him. You might have had your pockets filled with money. You might have had, you know, good time in your life. Maybe you got a promotion or a bonus or a windfall, and your pockets were filled, your wallet was filled, and all you could think about is, man, where am I going to spend this money? You might have had a whole list of things in your mind. You might have had catalogs coming in the mail, you know, circling different things. Boy, I would look good in that. Boy, I bet I could get a hold of that thing over there. Your pockets might have been filled with money, but I promise you this, you are not filled like you are filled when you are filled with Jesus. He can fill you like nothing in this world can fill you. Praise God. You might have been filled with romance. So your heart was just filled with the thought of this other person. All you could think about from the moment you opened up your eyes till the time you went to sleep, and you probably even dreamed about them. Filled with the thoughts of this person, man. Oh, looking in their eyes, man, they touched me yesterday. It was just so incredible. You know, you're walking down the middle of the mall and you just picture them walking with you. You know, it's you're driving down the road. You just picture them sitting there in the car with you. You just can't wait to be with them. You think, oh my gosh, I haven't spoken to them in 20 minutes. Oh man, it's been an hour since they texted me the last time. What's wrong with this phone? It must be broken or something. Can't I get any reception in this place? Filled with romance, but you ain't been filled until you've been filled with the living God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care how beautiful or sweet or precious that experience was, because this comes from the very depths of heaven. And when He fills you, man, you become oblivious to everything around you. When He fills you, you're no good. You will come unglued when Jesus fills you. That's what I want, man. I want to be filled. I've been filled with some stuff, man, but I ain't never been filled like Jesus can fill me, and I just want it all. Man, I'm like, Lord, fill me to overflowing. Let it just run down me onto the ground and spill out in the hall. Let it overflow me so much that people walking in just start falling out because they're slipping under the power of God. Praise God. Are you hungry for that? Are you guys hungry for that? How do you know? How do you know you're hungry for that? What are you talking about, this Susan? Of course I'm hungry. I've been around for 50 years. I know when I'm hungry. Get hungry every day. What are you talking about? How do you know if you're hungry? Well, how do you know? When you were a kid, did you ever ask your mom for cookies and have her say, yes. No. Why? Thank you very much. It'll spoil your appetite. I never had my mom tell me that one time, but that I didn't say, yeah, right. Spoil my appetite, man. You never seen me eat. Man, good night. I can eat them cookies and everything else too. But the truth, if the truth were revealed, it was the cookies that I wanted. I didn't really care. You know, and God bless my mom. She's a wonderful lady, but you know, well, we all have our strengths and weaknesses, but I love her dearly. She's not a bad cook. My dad's a better cook, but my eyes were on the cookies. She's like, you'll spoil your appetite. It won't spoil my appetite. I'm hungry enough for dinner. But inside, I'm thinking, man, I just want them cookies, man. But you know what happened when I grew up and became an adult? Yeah, I told my kids that. When I grew up and became an adult, my tastes changed.